Aren't we glad that the Lord speaks? And where does he speak most clearly? Scripture and in the Word of God. And on that note, we love children and we love the Bible. So we love speaking to children about the Word of God. Here's a lovely book if you're looking for a gift to give to a family or parents, if you want to go through the Scriptures with your children. The Jesus Storybook Bible. Years ago, there was a famous preacher by the name of Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I think one of his relatives has been involved in compiling this wonderful book of Bible stories that point to Jesus. And then a little bit later, it's a month of conferences. We had some folk going to a conference in Hamburg. We'll hear about that. Some of the ladies are away in the Netherlands. But the conference that just went by focused on the five solas. Sola is the Latin name for alone. The five solas of the Reformation. It's a great year in history. It's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We would not be here in this building worshiping as we do, except for the Reformation. And here's a lovely little booklet called These Truths Alone. It goes through Scripture alone, why Scripture is our authority. Christ alone, why there is only salvation in Jesus Christ, no one else. By grace alone, we're not saved by our works, and we remember that when we come around the table. Sola fide, through faith alone, we're saved by grace, through faith and nothing else in the person of Jesus. And then soli Deo gloria, that everything we do in life is not about us, it's about the glory of God alone. So wonderful little book for you. Now imagine a world, if you can, imagine a world without any ambition. We had the joy of going to a performance at the Beaux-Arts Theatre. The winner of last year's Queen Elizabeth International Piano Competition, a Czech man, Lukas Vondracek. And I said to Hunley after we left the performance, I said, you know, that man is so in love with the music, he really couldn't care whether there was a packed auditorium or not. It just shone out through him. We were made for ambition. He was in love with the music. And it seems to me when we think of about ambition that this is one of the reasons that communism has failed. I mean, who doesn't crave something better than we have at the moment? If you're an employee, isn't there a little part of you that wouldn't mind being an employer? I mean, why work 8 hours a day when you can be a boss and work 12 hours a day? What person who rents, if you're renting an apartment, what person doesn't really want to be an owner? When you are moving towards retirement, what person doesn't want to be more financially secure? Welcome to the book of Proverbs. That's a book we're going to be in together as God's people in the next couple of weeks. Here is wisdom from God for those who want to fulfill their ambitions. And I have a simple aim today, and it's to show you why the book of Proverbs matters. And I want to say to you that this is a book like no other. It is part of what the Bible calls wisdom literature. So it's different from the first five books of the Bible, the law, and it's different from the prophets. But I think it goes further than some of the other wisdom books. If Job is God's wisdom for those who feel they're losers in life, if the Psalms are God's wisdom for spiritual people, if Ecclesiastes is God's wisdom for successful people, and Song of Solomon for lovers and those who want to get married, here is wisdom for ambitious people who spend their lives wanting their ambition. And that implies that this is a very practical book. It's a very practical book. And please don't read Proverbs like promises. But let me illustrate this. For example, chapter 10 and verse 4, we will read a proverb, lazy hands make for poverty. That makes sense, right? If you're lazy, you're generally going to be poor. Generally. But diligent hands bring wealth. Well, we've all known those who worked very hard. I can think of some of my relatives, and they're not stinking rich. They work very hard. And how many fools are there who buy a ticket for the lottery and suddenly they become rich? So you see, I'm wanting you to see that these proverbs are, you could call them maxims. They are general principle of how God governs the world. And that's why when you read the New Testament, please, you know, when you're reading through your New Testament, take note of that. Take note of how the new and the old go together. Sometimes in the New Testament, the writers will refer to the Proverbs. For example, if you've got plans, and there are some of us over summer who'll be relocating, well, James chapter 4 and verse 13, you who make plans and you want to go to a particular city and do business and make money, you don't even know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then there's a quote from Proverbs, you see, wisdom from God. Proverbs 27 verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Proverbs, God's wisdom. Well, open up your Bibles, please. Just one verse, Proverbs 4 verse 11. And then I want you to keep a finger there. Well, don't keep a finger there. Just look at it and then we'll go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. So Proverbs 4 and verse 11, to me, this kind of sums up the book. Just a terrific verse, Proverbs 4 verse 11. This is obviously God speaking ultimately, because this is God's wisdom. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. That's a verse to live by. And then turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. It's at the end of the first major section in the book of Proverbs, so it kind of summarizes everything well. That's why we're starting in Proverbs 9. We'll go to chapter 1 next week. So Proverbs 9, verses 1 to 6, and then 13, 18. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. And then look with me at verse 13. And we meet another woman, a very different woman from Lady Wisdom. Folly is an unruly woman. She's simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Lord, coming to your word is not an exercise for us. It is an exercise because we've got to dig deep and we've got to use our minds, but coming to your word is a delight because we, the musicians that led us in singing, Master, speak, your servant hears. And you are a God who speaks, and you speak very loudly and very clearly in every book of the Bible, which ultimately points us away from ourselves to Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And so today we don't want to be fools. We don't want to just skim the surface, miss the message. I want my heart to be changed. I want to leave here this morning with more love for you and your wisdom, more love for Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So over 40 years ago, 16-year-old boy flew, well, actually the plane flew, he was on it, into Heathrow Airport. I had never seen snow before, apart from just one flight to a city called Durban in South Africa. I'd never been outside my little country, which was then called Rhodesia. Now it's called Zimbabwe. Some of you are from that country. It was the beginning of a journey. It was a chapter that on the one hand was very exciting. 16 years old, leaving home. That's the age which I left home. But on the other hand, pretty fearful, pretty fearful. What do you pack for a trip like that? I mean, what do you take with you? You know, but this is going to age me. It was in the days of the fax, right? No mobile phones, no Facebook, no social media. Glad for Mom, who packed in all the essentials. But glad for my dad's efforts. He went far to make sure that I didn't feel too strange in a foreign land. And as I stepped out in the arrival hall, there was an older man. He was actually a pastor. I've never forgotten his name, Jack Mundell. And he greeted me. And as he took me to the hostel where I was staying, he said, "If you need anything, I'm a call away. You need anything from me, I'm just a call away." Doesn't matter who you are today, you're on a journey. Your life is taking you on a journey. And a journey is not static, you know that. We're moving in directions all the time. So we move physically. I know that some of you are bracing yourself for quite a big move in the next couple of months. We also move in other areas in terms of our education and younger people in terms of your career. We're moving. We're moving in terms of relationships and development. And it's not as if we're in this journey in paradise. This is a dangerous world. Man, is it dangerous. And I'm not just talking about terrorists. It can be dangerous listening to the wrong voices, younger people. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right to man. It looks just so great. But in the end, it leads to death. God's wisdom. What do you need for a journey like that? Well, I think you need a good Twitter account. And I think Proverbs is kind of like God's Twitter. Okay, it's deep, but it's kind of like Twitter. After these nine chapters, you're going to have hundreds of tweets, short sayings of real truths. But beyond that, I think we need a life coach, and we need the real currency. So those are just my two points here today. If you want to journey wisely through life, go for expert coaching. Go for the real life coach through the trip. Did you notice the three main characters in chapter 9? Did you notice that as we read together? There's Lady Wisdom. She's calling out to the traveler. And she assumes that the traveler doesn't have the wisdom that he or she needs for the journey. Let all who are simple come to my house, come and eat at my table and drink the wine that I've mixed. And at the end of it, you're not going to get indigestion. At the end of it, you're going to walk in the way of insight. But there's another voice. We're going to see that voice in Proverbs again and again. Sometimes that voice comes through the adulterous woman. The woman who looks fantastic on the outside. But her ambition is to seduce the young man to destroy his life. We're going to see that in chapter 5. So here is, we'll call her Madam Folly. She's also prepared a feast, a choice food, 5-star wines. The only problem is that her food is stolen. And if you listen to her voice, you will find that her food is laced with poison for the soul. We read verse 18. Little do they know, that's the travelers who've chosen the wrong hotel. Little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This is something, isn't it? It's wonderful. Don't you think that God cares about, you know, the massive truths of our existence? But he also knows how much of our life is made up of choices, real life choices. Choices when it comes to what kind of woman or what kind of man am I going to marry one day if I'm younger? Or if you're at that stage, what job or career should I go for? And how should I conduct myself in the job that God has given me? How should I spend my money when there are 1,001 areas in which I could spend my money? So here is my God, here is our God coaching us for wisdom that we need in the complicated path of life. Now, am I wrong, or has there been an increase in recent days in a career called life coaches? Life coaches. Why do you go to a life coach? A life coach is going to give you, he's going to draw a sketch of you, or she's going to draw a sketch of you. Look at your strengths and weaknesses and see how you can become more effective. And now we begin to see why the book of Proverbs is more than just sort of moral advice, you know, live this way and you're going to lead a better life. Now we see why it points us away from ourselves to the greatest life coach, to the one who is wisdom, to the competent thinker for all times and for all cultures. We're in a room like this. We represent many different cultures, but man, we need someone who understands the universe and life and who can give us wisdom to live. And that's Jesus Christ. In other places of the Bible, we meet him as prophet, as priest, as king. Here, Proverbs is saying, meet your personal mentor.
Here he is. Here's your life coach. Here is Jesus. Here is Jesus.
And I want to submit to you today that Proverbs matters because through Proverbs, we learn why trusting Jesus is important for life and for eternity. I remind you today that Jesus lived wisdom perfectly. Jesus lived wisdom perfectly. Who's the wisest person? Think about it, whom you've ever met in this life. Some of you have just come back from a conference. You've heard incredible preaching. You've heard wise men like Al Mohler. You've heard Ligon Duncan. As I'm speaking to you now, a good number of our ladies have gone to hear Jill Briscoe, terrific speaker, at a conference. But if you were to ask them, and they were honest, if you would, you would ask them, you know, what makes you worth listening to? Why should we listen to you? They would say to you, we can point you to wisdom, but there is only one person who's demonstrated continual wisdom. Only one person who never said a word out of place. Only one person, as Proverbs 15:4 says, had a soothing tongue, which is a tree of life. Only one person who never put a foot wrong. Only one person who always did the right thing at the right time. Just as he was perfect in every other way, Jesus perfectly lived the wisdom of Proverbs. I want you to see that, and I want you to understand that today. And I want you to take it in. Because we live in a world that's just in awe of information. Information is everything. And we're going to come back to that. But information is not wisdom. Remember that, young people, as you live in this world. Next week, when we look at Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon is going to use different words for wisdom. He's going to tell us that these proverbs are for gaining wisdom and instruction, and the word for instruction means correction. So the wise person is the person who is always open to being corrected. And then he goes on to say that these proverbs are for understanding words of insight. And insight, that word in the original language, means much more than just knowledge. It's the ability to look at a heart issue and to discern the differences that are at stake. Now, you find that, for example, if you read 1 Samuel, there's a wonderful story of Abigail. Remember Abigail? Now, you remember how David and his men had provided protection for her husband's shepherds. And through David and his men, Nabal became a pretty much a wealthy man, not least because David and his men helped him. But Nabal was an otherwise kind of guy. You know, there's a word in Afrikaans called mutzvillig. It's an untranslatable word. It just means otherwise. Nabal was an otherwise kind of guy, and when David and his men needed help, he refused to give provisions. So David and his men are going ahead. They want to put Nabal to death, and Abigail, the woman of insight, steps into the situation and meets David with an incredible meal. We might call her in that situation the Lady Wisdom. 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. And she says, don't pay any attention to my husband. His name means fool. Just enjoy the meal. Without Abigail and her insight, there would have been a bloodbath. No wonder that later when Nabal died, God struck him dead. David sends an invitation for this woman to become his wife, not because she's got a high IQ, but because, like many of our wives, she can read between the lines and make the best possible choice. We need wisdom for this journey. And ultimately, that journey, that wisdom comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need not somebody who says to me, do what I say. I need somebody to whom I can look who says, do what I do, do what I've done. I've watched my tongue. I've worked hard. I'm the friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. He's the one who lived wisdom perfectly, but his wisdom uniquely. Look back at verse 1 of chapter 9. Isn't it wonderful how, rather than speak of wisdom in an abstract kind of way, in Proverbs you find wisdom presented as a rather classy lady. That's what she is in chapter 9. She's Lady Wisdom, and she's opened up her mansion to all who would come. And if you take the whole of the Bible into account, this hostess is a picture of wisdom, but ultimately a picture of Jesus. Because Jesus is not only wealthy in all of his ways, he is wise,
And Christian, as you're on this journey in life, he's thought of everything that you need for every step in your journey.
Get a hold of this. You could better translate verse 1 of chapter 9, wisdom's, not wisdom, not singular, wisdom's plural has built her house. Now, that's not speaking in terms of numbers like, you know, two chairs as opposed to one chair. And it's not speaking of many wisdoms, you know, you take your choice of whatever wisdom you like. This is a plural of majesty for wisdom in all of its fullness. This is a picture of Jesus, who is everything that God is. Jesus, who is wisdom from God, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30. This is God's wisdom in the flesh. We stake our lives on Jesus. We are Christians because of Jesus Christ. We love Jesus because Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, and we worship Jesus because he is the exact representation of the being of God. That's why we're Christians. And you see what this means. One of the lies of sin, Madam Folly, we'll call her, is that if you follow Jesus, young people, that's going to be the end of your good life. That's one of her lies. But look with me at verse 2. She's prepared her meat and she's mixed her wine, and she has also set her table. This now is Lady Wisdom. That mixing doesn't mean watering down. Some of you have drunk the glue wine, right? Glue wine, that's what you call it over the Christmas markets. That very hot, spicy wine. Nobody here has drunk that? Well, you just don't want to own up. This is the kind of mixing. These are the spices that make that wine even better. So what Jesus offers to you right now is not only ready, it couldn't be more generous or honoring to you. Now, you know, when we're on a journey, I think we like to go for McDonald's or Quick. It's very tempting because it's cheap, but it's still junk food. So if you get a choice between that and an invitation to a four-course meal prepared by the best chef, there's no choice. Proverbs matters because Jesus matters. Jesus is unparalleled. And Lot says in her poem, "Give me Jesus." He is unprecedented. He is undisputed. He is undefiled. That means he is pure. He is unsurpassed. You cannot surpass him. He is unshakable. He is the highest personality in psychology. He is a supreme subject in literature. He is the fundamental doctrine of theology. Theology is not real theology unless it points you to Jesus Christ again and again and again. He is the cornerstone. He is the capstone. He is the stumbling stone of all religion. He is the miracle of the ages. He is wisdom from on high. Just give me Jesus. He's lived wisdom, he is wisdom, and then, of course, he supplies wisdom gladly. Isn't that what makes him the ultimate life coach? You see, on the one hand, he calls us away from foolishness. That's why we need him. Not just when you start the Christian life, but even when you're down the road, 20, 30 years down, you need Jesus Christ. He's calling us away from foolishness. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. I find it significant that Lady Wisdom speaks of the way of insight and not ways. You contrast that with Madam Folly, the unruly woman. And you get the idea that there are many paths to her house as she calls from the highest point of the city to her deadly meal. And here is why, by the way, young people, it's important to choose the right way pretty early in your life. And much of the book of Proverbs, you know, it is centered in a home, where dad and mom are saying to their son, or if you like, their daughter, "Listen to me." Or it's set in a palace where a young man is being prepared for leadership. I think I've just lost the mic here. Just put it in my pocket. There we go. How are you going to succeed in life? How are you going to reach your potential? By following God's way, God's truth, God's life. Verse 11, chapter 4. "I will instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And when you run, you will not stumble." What a wonderful picture. Can I say today that
That is why we need to come to the book of Proverbs with humility. With humility. This is why God's wisdom is always for those who are humble. I like the way Ray Ortland puts it. He says, here's a simple gospel mantra. We don't believe in mantras, do we? They're for other religions. But he says, if you've got to have a mantra, here's something to live by, to keep in mind. This is what the book of Proverbs is saying to you. One, I am a complete idiot. Two, my future is incredibly bright. And three, anybody can get in on this. We don't like being called complete idiots. But the book of Proverbs points us to the coach who really counts. So if you're going to journey wisely through this life, go for this expert coaching through the trip. But then take the exact currency for the trip, because, you know, to enjoy the journey, you need more than the best coach or guide, right? When I went to the UK all those years ago, I had to have a certain currency with me. You could get a lot more then for what you get for the English sterling now. But that currency helped me to pause along the way and to make the most of the trip. And in that respect, the book of Proverbs is like currency. If you feel into your pocket and you take out a 50 euro note, if you've got that much, that note has still got value whether you use it or not. The treasury of Belgium recognizes its value, but it's only got value to you and to me when you take it out of your wallet and you start to put it to work. And that's how we should be reading the book of Proverbs. Well, two applications. How can we be sure that we're eating at the right banquet so that we're not messing up our lives? The book of Proverbs will say to us, choose well and be responsible. Choose well and be responsible. Two voices in chapter 9, both strong voices. We hear them every single day, whether we realize it or not. You've got Lady Wisdom and you've got Madam Folly. But also two different paths in life. Verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 4, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Walk in that way and you're going into the light and not away from it. But there's another path. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You see, the question in Proverbs is open-ended, right? Jesus can show us the way. You may be here today and you're discovering more about Jesus and you're saying, well, you know, what is this Jesus that I should make much of him in my life? Who is he? So he can point out the path. He can say, follow me. But it's only in the following. It's only in the choosing well that you're showing that you really love the coach. And in the choosing, you're walking out wisdom in real life. I was thinking of a kind of subtitle for the series. Well, a good subtitle would be, what you choose will give you away. What you choose will give you away. Or if you like, the Ten Commandments in shoe leather. This is where it's really at. Now, if today you think that this book is going to allow you to be a passive learner, you're in for a shock, right? This is not God doing the thinking for you. This is God, younger people, who's like your math teacher. I know some of you really love math. Your math teacher's not going to give you the solution to the problem very often. Why? Because you're going to learn a lot more by solving it yourself. And if you're going to arrive as a Christian where the Lord wants you to be, you need to choose well every step of the way. You know, there's an ancient legend of a king who loved to play chess. He challenged all of his visitors to a game, and he usually won. Well, one day, a traveling sage, a kind of a wise man, visited the kingdom, and the king challenged him to a game. And to entice him to play, the king said, if you win, you can have any reward you like. When the wise man defeated him, the king asked the wise man, well, what prize would you like? He said, give me one grain of rice on the first square of the chessboard, then double it on each following square. Well, the request didn't seem to be such a big deal, so the king ordered a bag of rice to be brought. One grain was placed on the first square, two on the second, 4 on the 3rd, 8 on the 4th, quickly became apparent that the king wouldn't be able to meet. By the 21st square, more than 1 million grains of rice would be required. By the 31st square, the total would go over 1 billion, and there was more than half of the chessboard still left to go. And here's the point. Small things. Proverbs is about the small things of life. Small things have a big impact when they're added together. Every word you say in this week is going to matter. When you say it, and also when you choose to keep quiet. Every debit on your bank account is saying something. The way you work, whether you work like an ant or whether you're a lazy sluggard, how you use your opportunities, the more we add to our wisdom and understanding, the stronger we become. So if Jesus is your coach, choose well. Choose well and be responsible. And then in our introduction to Proverbs, we'll end with a slow down and go deep. Slow down. Go deep. That's the challenge. I think we realize what a blessing technology is in terms of communication and learning. But Proverbs is going to warn you from living your life on the surface. Proverbs 14 verse 8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways." Eight years ago, a man called Nicholas Carr wrote an article called "Is Google Making Us Stupid?" 8 years ago. And his point was to make us to see how the media wants us to think in bite-sized terms rather than deeply about what really matters. He said then, as the media theorist Marshall McLuhan pointed out in the 1960s, media are not just passive channels of information. We know that today. They supply the stuff of thought, but they also shape the process of thought. And what the net seems to be doing is chipping away my capacity for concentration and contemplation. My mind now expects to take in information the way the net distributes it in a swiftly moving stream of particles. He says this, a lovely picture. "Once I was like a scuba diver in a sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski." Brothers and sisters, that's why we need Proverbs. That's why we need Proverbs. You know, nobody left to themselves will ever arrive at wisdom. That word, verse 4 of chapter 9, that word translated simple, it means ignorant. Man, I don't like being told that I'm ignorant. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you say to me every day, "Get over yourself." You are the sort of person who leaves your options open. You're sometimes fickle, and you're sometimes trusting with half a heart, and you sometimes waver. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? Get over yourself. And to know ourselves, we need to embrace what we need for the journey. We need to be real, and we need to go deep. We need to go deep into the Word. We need to go deep into God. We need to go deep into our hearts. So Jesus, save us first from thinking that we don't need to be saved, and then from thinking that we can go on our own way without trusting in you every day. And that's where I want to end. Maybe you're here today at some kind of a crossroads in your life, and both voices are calling you from either side. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. You can remain simple until you reach the cliff and then find out it's too late. Or you can commit yourself to the life coach who not only lived out this wisdom but died to take the punishment of what simple people really deserve. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What will it profit you if you end your journey here, the few years that we have in life, having everything, best career that you could have had, all the skills you would have liked to have had, a great family that you're very proud of, but then to find that at the end of it all, you were just building your house on what is sand. And you who say, I love Jesus Christ today, may I remind you that true wisdom in this life is walking further with Jesus Christ than we've ever walked before. That's the message of the book of Proverbs. Love the coach, use the currency, embrace the path, give yourself to that. Let's pray together. Father, here's a message that will not allow us to waver, will not allow us to, as it were, sit on the fence. Here in Proverbs is a book that, and a word that will call us out of ourselves to recognize why we need your wisdom as we live in this world, and how so often we're tempted to leave the path in which you want us to go. Here is a book for all of life, for every chapter of life. Here is something that we need. Here is the wisdom from above. Here is wisdom that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a moment or two, we're going to come around a very precious table that reminds us that that the wisdom of God appears to be foolishness in the eyes of the culture. But we praise you today for Jesus Christ. We praise you today that we may follow him and entrust our lives to him, whether we are young or whether we are young at heart, that we may follow him all of our days and know the wisdom that we need to get to the end of our destination. Help us, we pray, as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. go straight into it.
So I'll cherish you again.
Thank you, Father, for the truth of those words, that to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, though ghastly in itself, is not something to run away from, but rather something to cling to because of the perfect work that was done there. Thank you that as we go into this week, we can do it in the knowledge that you are a perfect, loving, heavenly Father who has provided all that we need in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. May we cling to him, may we cling to your work, and may we follow you in all of our ways. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of those who know him and who love him, both now and forever. Amen.